Wake up fresh
daily.
Wake up fresh daily. With Tom and Lonnie. K-Rock 955.
Remember how I brought you the tale of a very famous jingler?
Oh, yeah, the Bunnings guy.
The Bunnings guy.
Yeah.
Right, not too long ago. Well, that was from Gruen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've done it again.
Right.
They've unearthed another Aussie legend.
Yeah.
And this one really, really gets me because not only did I froth the product.
Yeah.
But I frothed the jingle as well.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Peter Martin. I wrote the...
No, that was right. I had nothing left to say. No, that was good. Sorry. Anyway... Here he is.
Hi, my name's Peter Martin. I wrote the music for Cotty's My Dad. The melody came quickly as I crossed the Harbour Bridge, so I'll play something from the early workings of this piece. My dad picks the fruit that goes to Cotty's to make the cordial that I like best. My dad picks the fruit that goes to Cotty's and makes the cordial that I like best.
It's the slaps for me.
Yeah, it's the joy.
It's just...
There's so much joy in
it.
So
Peter, he wrote that driving over, if you just heard there, the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Great.
Just like that.
Yeah, it just Cotties. Popped into his head.
Do you know what? We are known in the Tomaskas household for my mum, H, making the best Cotties cordial.
Hell's bells.
People would come from far and wide. I'm telling you, every time we had a house party or something, people would line up and be like... Hey, have you got any Cotties?
Would she make a big jug and it would just be perfect, or would it be glass by glass and she could just like the perfect pour of wine?
She can do the perfect pour,
but,
you know, to make life easier on her pouring hand, you know, she does it with the jug.
Amazing.
And I've tried.
Yeah.
Oh, hell, I've tried.
Yeah.
But I cannot do
it's not genetic.
Fruit crush like H.
Yeah. So good.
People love people that are listening wearing me now are like, yes, I've had some of H's cordial.
Wake up fresh.
Daily.
Wake up fresh. Daily. With Tom and Lonnie. So K-Rock 955.
So yesterday we caught up with our baristas, as we do, the girls over at Grounds of Society here in town, make our wonderful coffees every morning. And one of them was missing when we went to collect our coffees.
Mm.
And so Marley was missing. Ali was like, let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
Why Marley's not here right now. And I went, that is a great story.
Yes.
And so Marley is on the line now to tell us, why weren't you at work yesterday morning, mate?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good. What happened?
Well, I went to go to work. I live in Highton.
Mm.
And I got in my car and was like, I need a fresh mask. Because, you know, got to wear one of them all day.
Yep.
I ran back inside. I left my keys in the front door, car ignition on. Ran in, couldn't find a mask. Ran back out, jumped in the car, drove all the way to Coles in Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
And car decided to turn off on me because there were no keys. So there I was, stuck in Belmont.
Hang on. hang on. Wait a second. So you've got a smart car that with a push button start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because you started it when you originally had your keys.
Yeah.
It
kept going.
Yeah, it didn't scream at you.
No, told me nothing.
Okay.
Oh, my God. So you obviously, just could not, it wouldn't start without the keys when you got to the supermarket.
Yeah, but I didn't even stop the car. I was like, all right, where are my keys? And then, like, all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my God, are they in the front door? And then the car was like, yeah, they are, and turned off.
Oh!
It's reading your mind.
Yeah. Oh. It's smarter than me.
Yeah. Okay, right. So you're at Coles Belmont, which is traditionally quite a peaceful car park to be in anyway.
Mm.
What was the next step? What did you do? How did you get the car started again?
Well, so I rang mate number one.
Yeah.
And he was about to pour some concrete, so he couldn't help me out.
Okay.
So I got mate number two, who's my housemate.
Yeah.
She was leaving for work in 15 minutes, and it wasn't on her way. She was going over Breakwater Bridge, which I was looking at from the car park. I was like,
not on the way.
Not on the way, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
So mate number three, which was my mum.
Yeah.
And her partner. Her partner was having a sleep in and he was like, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Aww.
So he came and got me, did the round trip, and I was here in an hour.
Oh, bless.
Mate. But yeah. So you think the technology is so good and it makes everything so handy, but geez, it can trip you up, can't it?
Yeah, well, you know, get yourself a nice 95 Ford laser.
Yeah.
You're in there, you got no problem.
Your car is Swedish, though, so maybe it was trying to tell you and you just didn't understand.
It's in different language.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, can we just speak about the housemate for a second?
Yeah.
That's not nice. Even, like, Tom, I tell you right now, Marley, if you would call me, I'd be like, you know what, I don't care if it was out the way. Well, I would come and get you.
I know. Thank you. Well, I'll call you next time.
No, don't.
Wake up fresh daily. Wake up fresh daily. With Tom and Lonnie. K-Rock 955.
When I was 15, I went to America for like an exchange.
Yes.
Student exchange. And so we were traveling with friends and it was fun. And you're a teenager and you're going to a new country. It was amazing. Right. So we did a bit of a tour kind of thing and then stayed with a family in Seattle. And then we all got back together again and all headed home to Australia. And on the way home, my best mate and I were sitting next to each other. And then someone came along, like one of their hosties came along and said, okay. I think we're flying United. You know,
yeah.
We need someone to swap seats with someone and in exchange we'll give you a $200 United Airways voucher.
What?
Right, which, I mean, to be fair, it was, what, 97, so
yeah.
$200 is worth more then. But my mate goes, yep, I'll do it. Like, just ditches me. He didn't move far away. It was like we were in the middle four seats.
Yeah.
Four row in the middle. And then you've got like two or three on each side. So he moved like one row ahead and then off to the side. So he wasn't that far from me. But so I was then placed next to a very tall Polynesian lady.
Yeah.
And her maybe 18-month-old daughter, two-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And so instead of sitting with my mate for this 16-hour flight back from LA, 18-hour flight back from LA, I was sitting next to this lady now.
Yeah.
And that was fine. That was, hello, yeah, hi, yeah, good, okay. Yeah. And then just read my book.
I'm just a teenager just sitting here. And there were no TVs on the back of chairs.
No, they were big. It was a big TV.
There was a big one at
the
front.
And you have your little headphones that plug into the actual handle.
Terrible times.
I was just reading a book, listening to my Discman.
Yeah.
And it was fine, right? But then the kids started like crawling on me and that kind of thing. And again, I've grown up. I'm the oldest of like nine kids, so I know kids, and I'm fine playing with kids.
Yeah.
And it didn't really bother me. And she was lovely about it. And so the kid was like biting me and pinching me and stuff. And she stop that. Anyway, so as it moves on, it gets time. The lights go out, and you go to sleep. And so we all kind of drifted off to sleep. And I woke up on resting my head on her arm, the tall Polynesian lady. Using her arm as my pillow. And not only that, but I had dribbled in my sleep on her sleeve. And so I kind of startled awake as she did as well. And I assessed the situation, looked at her. She assessed the situation, looked at me. And then she smiled at me and then we just never mentioned it again.
Oh.
And I think she was nice because I was nice about the kid.
Yeah.
But stuff happens on planes, man. What happened to you on a flight?
Scotty from Highton on the phone. Morning, Scotty. What is your plane trip memory?
Morning, guys. It was Terminal 2 Melbourne.
Mm.
I was single. I downloaded the Tinder app. And so I boarded the flight and I got a match as I sat down. And she was on the flight as well. And so we had a bit of a free Wi-Fi session through Virgin.
Yeah.
And, ended up Mile High Club.
No, you didn't, Scotty.
Lie.
That is
lie.
Such
a
lie.
Massive liar, Scotty.
Scotty, you did not.
Nah, I'm cutting him off. Adam in Herne Hill. Morning, Adam.
Hey, how you going?
Good. Have you had a positive experience like myself or Scotty?
Not quite. It was a rather traumatic one.
Okay.
When
when I was in primary school, with my dad's work, we did a lot of international flying. And I think one time we were going from Beijing to Singapore.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long after takeoff, I was sitting on the left-hand wing side window.
Mm-hmm.
I looked out the window and the engine on the wing had flames spewing out of it.
No!
Yeah, and I noticed it before they even made an announcement over the speaker. And I thought, all right, well, this is it. But apparently they can actually fly with one engine down. And we ended up turning around and making an emergency landing.
So did you press the little button and just say, now, sorry, guys, I just want to let you know that outside my window there's a goddamn fire going on.
No, I just froze, really. I thought that was it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Far out.
The whole wing was lit up. But, yeah, that was pretty traumatic, but I think I'm ready to fly again.
Yeah. That's the answer we want to hear, yeah. Adam. All right, Brett, Geelong West, what's your flying story, mate?
Basically what he just said. I was in in Jakarta with my father on business.
Yeah.
And we were flying back to Indonesia because he was, going back to Indonesia, and we're on, it was a Indonesian, I can't remember, the Garuda flight.
Yeah.
And we were there, and this was nearly 30 years. It was when Titanic was at the movies, because my brother and I went to watch Titanic in Jakarta.
Yeah.
Sure, okay, yeah.
And so it was a long time ago, and we're flying, rolling down the runway, whatever they call it, in transit down the runway.
Yeah.
And I don't remember where we were sitting. This is a very long time ago. And the plane stopped, and the cabin crew sort of panicked a little bit, and the doors flew open, and those big, those slides.
Yeah.
Down the wings on. They come out. When we got there, there was already a fire truck there putting you could see the flames.
Mm. Oh, my God.
And there was already a fire truck there putting the flames out and that, and we all got shuttled very quickly away from it. Yeah. And it was recently, I think I was about 11. As an 11-year-old, it wasn't a good experience.
No.
What's the slide like?
Yeah, did you go on the slide?
We did. Everyone went on those slides. When you're a panicked 11-year-old, it's you don't really remember. I slid down a slide, Dad. Woo!
Yeah.
Okay. So you didn't go around again. Is the moral of the story? You didn't get them to put you back up there so you could have another go.
Yeah. Okay.
Good story so far. This is a great ad for Avalon.
I know. But obviously everyone's drinking because they want to get back in the sky. And stories from 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah,
so,
in different countries.
Yeah.
As well,
so. Michaela from Geelong, what's your flying travel story, lovely?
Hi, guys. Mine's not as interesting as Zoe's one.
Oh, right. Well,
when I was 18.
Anyway.
No, you're welcome. Well, when I was 18, I moved to Perth. I made the big decision to go by myself. I'd never flown before.
Mm.
So I thought, this would be interesting. And all week I'd watch Air Crash Investigations because it was my favourite show, thinking that that week I was going on a plane.
Yes.
So there was the last thing on my laptop. Anyway, I got to the airport, got on the plane, said bye to my family, sat down. They went through their big spiel of all the safety stuff. And as we went to take off, the woman next to me grabs my arm and she's like, I'm not the best person to fly with. And
God.
So mind you, I'm on the window stand near the emergency exit. I thought, okay, if something goes wrong, let's fly in a good spot.
Yeah.
And the whole flight, there was a lot of turbulence and she was crying, vomiting, grabbing me.
Oh.
She got out of her seat, ran down the aisle, and I was just so traumatic.
Yeah.
In the end, she knew the flight attendant and she kept bringing her bottles of wine because it would calm her down.
Oh. What?
So she kept getting me bottles of wine, little bottles of wine as well, like the tiny ones.
Yeah.
So by the end of the flight, I tried to watch the laptop. Air Crash Investigations came on. I thought, no, I'm not doing that. She was screaming in my ear the whole time. So by the time I got off the plane in Perth, I didn't know what to feel. I'd had wine. I was traumatised. I was happy. And I just so happy to have my feet on the ground. It was horrible.
Right.
To Sydney about 4 years later and she was on the same flight.
No!
She was a few rows back and I could hear this lady and I got up to go to the toilet and I seen her and I was like, oh my God, I need to get off the plane.
Get out of town.
Amazing. Wake up fresh daily.